Welcome to another episode of St. Joseph's Workshop. Today, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, we talk about how we can celebrate Christmas for its whole season, for its 12 days and beyond.
Welcome to St. Joseph Workshop, building the church at home, a place where faith and family meet.
Insight from a priest, a mother, and a whole bunch of others. I'm Emily Lugo.
And I'm Father Jason Cargo. Join us as we enter St. Joseph's Workshop. Emily, you know, everything is getting ready for Christmas. You know, this time of year, we see all sorts of Christmas things here and there in the stores. Of course, they've been up for I don't know how many months, right? It seems like it goes straight from Halloween into Christmas.
Yep.
But we have all these different Christmas songs. What's your favorite Christmas song, by the way?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot there. I really like the first Noel.
And that's a real like Christmas hymn,
yeah.
Right? So I, you know, for me, What Child Is This? I really like What Child Is This. I think because when I was playing my clarinet in middle school, I was able to play that song, you know. but what about your favorite, like, non-church hymn Christmas song?
Maybe Joseph's Lullaby is a song where it kind of talks about Joseph rocking baby Jesus.
Man, that's nice. Yeah. I was thinking like Deck the Halls.
Oh, let me think, not churchy.
Deck the Halls Christmas with tree. Boughs of holly, you know. You know, that's always a funny one because I'm like bough, you know, I think of intestines. So that's a whole nother story. So no, this is a time where we're dreaming of a white Christmas, and I don't know if we want, after last year, if we want anything white and snowy,
oh, yeah.
after the great freeze. But, you know, we have all sorts of different Christmas traditions and celebrations, right, that we have. And, you know, I think this is very important for our families and for our own lives to be able to have like a deeper meaning and fulfillment. It's what we call kairotic moments. Kairotic is kairos in Greek for time. And it means we register time from one important event to the next important event, opposed to chronotic or chronos, which is the root for chronology, which is second after second after second. So our life is more fulfilled when we're living in these moments of kairos. And one of the things, we have all sorts of memories from our childhood for Christmas. I'd love to hear some of your favorite childhood memories of Christmas.
Yeah, I think the thing that kind of stands out to me is just that magical experience of Christmas. I think even when I was at the age and stage where I knew maybe Santa Claus was more of a legend than a reality.
Wait, he's a legend?
Maybe. I said maybe. when I was at that point of doubting if he was real or not, I still kind of came into that sense of magic. Like, I remember waking up, you know, at 3 a.m. when everybody is asleep in my house. You know, I have two brothers and two sisters and my parents, and like the house is quiet. And I sneak out to our front room where our Christmas tree, and I see all of the presents just laid out. And there's just something about it, just so magical. And just like, how did this happen? Where did this come from? That it just still, I don't know, grabbed me. And I would just grab my pillow, my blanket, and then lay down by the presents and just fall asleep, because we weren't allowed to open anything or wake up my parents until the sun came up. So just that magic of kind of in that moment of, is this, what is this? I don't know. It's just something that was really special.
You know, I have memories like that too. So in my house, my parents would really do Christmas up, and we wouldn't do a whole lot of decorating before Christmas. So we, like 3 days or 4 days before, we would go get the Christmas tree. And we also had this tradition of putting up this large train platform, because we had all these Lionel HO train gauge that we'd set up, maybe 6 tracks. And so we'd kind of put all the tracks down and prepare that. But on Christmas Eve, once we went to bed, the house was transformed. The tree would be decorated. Mm. The the train tracks would be all filled with figurines and houses, and the trains would be on there ready to go, and the Christmas presents would come out, and the stockings would be stuffed. And of course, as a kid, you'd wake up at 3 a.m. yeah. and sneak out. We weren't allowed to touch the presents. We were allowed to open the stockings.
Us too, yes.
So we would like pour out the stockings, look at all of that. And we weren't allowed to wake up our parents, who just went to bed at, 2:59 as we creeped out at 3 o'clock, So, great memories. And it was magical, right? I mean, there was a sense of awe. Something that's stamped in my mind is seeing that Christmas tree with all the glitter, just glittering for the first time in the middle of the night, and knowing that Christmas has arrived, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I agree.
And so, those are great memories. The other memories I have is going to, we'd go to Christmas Eve Mass, and then after Christmas Eve Mass, we would go to, usually it was the children's Mass we'd go to, and then we'd go looking at Christmas lights for an hour, hour and a half, and then come home, and then we'd have dinner, and then at the end of dinner, my dad would read Night Before Christmas. And so we'd all gather around, even as teenagers, we'd all gather around, and then he would read The Night Before Christmas, and then he'd read a second version of it, and A Night Before Christmas in Texas, that is.
Oh, we would read it, but the Creole version.
The Creole. Cajun,
yeah.
What was that like?
It was like, on Boudreaux, the names were all changing. It was in the swamp with the alligator instead of the reindeer.
Oh, the alligators were the reindeer?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's my Louisiana background there.
No, it's a great thing, is these traditions. And one of the things I like to do after Christmas, though, because we're actually going to be talking about how to celebrate after Christmas, that, not only Christmas Day, but all throughout the Christmas season. One of the things I like to do with my friends when I was in high school is we'd go looking for Christmas trees that people would put out on the curb, right? And we would then pick up like 2 or 3 of these Christmas trees and tie them to the back of a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would then have someone drive the pickup truck, and then someone else would be on the Christmas trees surfing around the neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, there's no snow on the ground, right? It's just concrete. And you had to be real careful, because if you got off of the Christmas tree, it could rub a hole in your pants.
How fast were these cars going? Because I'm just thinking, even the trees are deteriorating as you're driving, because if
they're
like ours, they're real. So they're all dry and brittle, and the pine needles are just coming off.
Oh, yeah. We'd wrap a couple of them together, right? So, but the tough thing was whenever we went around turns, because there's nothing that would keep you from swinging out wide whenever the you got the centrifugal force going. So anyway, that was one of the crazier things we did after Christmas. I don't know if that has anything to do with what we're talking about right now.
Celebrating the 12 days of Christmas. Yeah.
But we did live.
Scratch that one from your list.
We were just, we're composting is what we were doing. We're grinding those trees into the ground. So, Lalo should not Christmas tree surf,
no,
right?
No, we will not be doing that.
So we have this this song, one of the songs, The 12 Days of Christmas. And Emily, can you kind of speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think everyone knows that song, whether you are sing it at Christmas parties or just to annoy your family members. But it kind of goes on and on about, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. And then it builds on itself, and it goes through.
Five golden rings.
That's when we like to play a game at Christmas parties where basically you have different tables who have to sing their part when it's their turn and stand up. So
act it out and everything.
Yeah, it's fun. For a little bit, it's fun. But, there's a theory, this song has the 12 days of Christmas, which for us from a Christian viewpoint, it's great. It's a great teaching moment, because we say Christmas Day is not the end. Traditionally, we would celebrate up until Epiphany, although that has changed, because there used to be a liturgical season for Epiphany. Now it goes on through the baptism of the Lord. But there's this period of time after Christmas, before we go back to ordinary time, where we're still in the moment and we're still celebrating. And so this song, kind of talks about this one person and all the beautiful gifts that they're giving during those 12 days of Christmas. But there's also a theory that you can use that almost as a way to catechize, and that there's hidden meanings for the different things. So for instance, they say that the partridge in the pear tree represents Jesus. And it kind of goes on to say, like, the two turtle doves represent the Old and the New Testament, the three French hens, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and it goes on. And again, I don't know if this was the intent of the author, but it could be a really fun catechism lesson just to help remind people, or maybe even change up the words, you know, and have kids remember some of the different things that go along with this.
Absolutely. Emily, are you a foodie?
A foodie.
Do you like food?
I do like food, but I'm not very picky. I'll pretty much eat whatever you put in front of me.
You know, I know we have some parishioners that are like great chefs, and I came across like the 12 days of Christmas in food. You know, so we have the 12 days of Christmas meaning something spiritual and religious and stuff, but what about food? Check this out. Partridge in a pear tree, right? You could have a cranberry poached pear and partridge crisp.
Is there an actual bird in that dish?
No. This sweet and tart holiday dish makes use of the iconic fall fruits and is finished off with an adorable partridge-shaped piece of pastry.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Or the turtle doves. Any guesses?
Chocolate.
Yep. These tempting turtle candies are simple, super simple to put together, which is a good thing because they're going to go fast. But, you know, so what do you think? The five golden rings, if you're a foodie.
Well, I can't classify myself as a foodie, so I would immediately think onion rings.
You know, that's a great idea. That could work. But this is salami, spinach, and provolone stromboli. Ooh. So, you know, basically a pastry ring filled with all this good stuff. So, geese a-laying, some deviled eggs. How fun would that be? Maids a-milking, check this out. Chocolate eggnog floats.
Huh.
Would that be these creamy bourbon and rum spiked after dinner treats are perfect for enjoying during the holiday season.
So, you know, most people think that you end up, you know, you will stop putting on the pounds after Christmas and all that good food, but you can actually extend it for 12 more days.
Absolutely. No, I throw that out, Emily, because I think, you know, there's different ways of celebrating. And so, you know, the 12 days of Christmas, it comes from it's important for us to know that it came from the real Christmas season for 12 days, right? Until the vigil of Epiphany on January 5th. If you count those days, it's actually 12 straight days. And then January 6th would have been the Epiphany. But here's a way of celebrating those 12 days, but just doing it in a different way with food, right?
I like that. That's a good idea.
But as, talking about seasons and everything, you were mentioning earlier that you know, we don't have an Epiphany season anymore. And in America, we don't celebrate Epiphany. Well, most dioceses in America, we don't celebrate the Epiphany on January 6th. Instead, we celebrate the Epiphany on the Sunday after the New Year's, basically. So for us this year, we are going to celebrate the Epiphany on January 2nd. And that will be when we celebrate that. And so even more so, we don't have 12 days of Christmas. We have more like, what is that, 9 days of Christmas, I think? Or 8 days
of
Christmas?
8 days of Christmas, yeah, if you were to end on the Epiphany.
So, but now our Christmas season goes beyond the Epiphany and includes the Epiphany. We can talk about the Epiphany a little bit later. It's just basically a date designed, or feast day designed, to show forth the revelation of God, that God reveals that Jesus is the very divine person of God. So, but we also have extra calendar or seasonal days in Christmas. Any guess which feast day is outside the Christmas season that is a Christmas feast day?
Without looking at my notes, no. What date would that be?
February 2nd, Groundhog Day. It's not Groundhog Day. we don't think of February 2nd as Groundhog Day, but we can think of it as Candlemas or the Presentation of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of places that will have their manger scenes up until February 2nd. As a sign that's the last kind of Christmas holiday, even though it falls outside of the Christmas season. And here at St. Joseph, we'll keep our indoor manger scene up until February 2nd. So that can be enjoyed until that date.
That's interesting. I guess I never really thought about that before. In my mind, it's always just like the Epiphany. You know, you have like the Three Kings Day, you celebrate the Rosca de Reyes with the king cake, and then it's done. Christmas tree away, decorations.
You're like,
up.
Too much. It's time for Lent. We got to work on our figure again. I'd like to hear a little bit more about some of the traditions that we can really do as Catholic Christians so that we can enter into this season well. And I just want to preface it first before you jump into some of those traditions, Emily. I'm a big believer that you can't feast unless you fast. Mm. You know, because if you're feasting all the time, then the feast no longer has meaning, right?
Yes.
So we have to really live Advent so that we can live the feast of Christmas and the season of Christmas. So that's just my first little tidbit, is that to enter into the Advent season as a time of preparation and a time of getting ready for Christmas and joyfully preparing for Christmas, not necessarily needing to, do penance or anything like that, but as a way of preparation instead of celebrating Christmas during Advent.
That's a great point. And I actually have to point out to our listeners that this episode in particular, we are going to give so many different tips and advices and suggestions for how you can live out the 12 days of Christmas that we won't actually have a tools at the end, because everything that we have kind of in here can be a tool for your family.
We are starting the tools about 35 minutes early.
Yes. So there's definitely a lot of different ways. You know, we've already talked to you about how even you can celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, or 15, with food. But there are other ways that you can do this. And I think this is really interesting, because personally, I've always thought the only way you can celebrate is by doing the gifts every day, like one gift each day, which that's just not feasible for me with 5 children. Not even financially, just I don't want that many little things around the house. So there's different things that you can do as a family to celebrate. So first of all, keep up your Christmas tree and keep up your Christmas decorations throughout the duration of this time. We're in Christmas time. We're not in ordinary time yet. I know that for those of you who have real Christmas trees, it's a battle because the pine needles start falling. But really leave it up until the baptism of the Lord so that you can celebrate that time with family.
And it might mean that maybe next year you get the Christmas tree a little bit later if
yes.
you go with the real ones.
Yeah, that's what we normally do. Another thing would be even keep listening to Christmas music. Now, if you're a radio listener, this is hard because they start playing it, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, and they stop it on Christmas Day. But the great thing about us is that we have all these different ways that we can listen, you know, with Spotify or just other devices that we can put on our own playlist. So I would suggest, like, continue to listen to Christmas music. Keep the spirit up in your family.
And you know, Emily, with that, there's some things where maybe you're not, you know, singing, maybe you're not listening to the songs which we normally would listen to and on the radio, but maybe you start shifting to maybe more like Epiphany songs, like We Three Kings, mm-hmm. right? And there's a lot of different variances of that.
Great. You know, I did mention the gifts. Now, some families do that. They will offer small gifts for each day. I know one friend who loves books, and so she'll actually do books every day. So it's something that they can continue to use over and over again. And they read it as a family. So just kind of feeding into that family quality time together.
You know, and I think also, you know, gifts are more than just physical items too, right? So what if you take a variation of this and if you're in a family and you try to say, okay, give to each of your family members something that maybe a note that you like about that person or some qualities they have, you know. Yeah, I think Emily, if we did this in my family, my brothers and I would have written, like, made funny pictures of each other or something. You know, we would probably put something, and we would have been corrected per se. But anyway, maybe if you're going to go that route, I would agree with you not to go all the physical, tangible things. But sometimes gifts can be more than just maybe it's a brother hugging his sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a note saying, you know, I appreciate you.
Yeah. And, you know, I was trying to think, how could we do this in our family to make it meaningful? And, you know, even if you wanted to do a gift, it could be, for instance, a board game and you open it up and we're going to play this tonight as a family, or maybe do a gift certificate to like ice cream. And then, okay, we're going to go, you know, go get ice cream or chocolate, hot chocolate. We're going to go look at Christmas lights.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then have hot chocolate. So I guess it doesn't have to break the bank. You could be creative. So I'm trying to, you know, create my own list of what we can do to keep it special throughout this season.
It could be family gifts.
Yes.
Yes. So that now at the Lugo household, do you guys do both gift giving on Epiphany or do you do it on Christmas?
So primarily for the Lugo family, it's like Christmas Eve, which is a big tradition coming from Mexico where all the gifts are open on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas stockings or Christmas Day, and then any gifts from the grandparents or aunts and uncles, you know, that'll happen whenever we gather with them. Epiphany, we haven't done that yet, but it's something that I would like to try to do with the kids.
So just for our listeners, you know, there is a great tradition in the world of gift giving on the Epiphany, because what happened at the Epiphany? We had the three kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the three magi. We don't know how many magi there were, but tradition is that there's three of them. And they brought gifts to Jesus of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And so a lot of people say, okay, well, that's a time to give gifts. And in America, it tends to be on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But, you know, perhaps you take advantage of those Christmas sales and you give gifts on the Epiphany. And that could be something that's, instead of having maybe go with the spiritual gift on Christmas and then do the larger gift giving on Epiphany, just a different change. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. You know, there are other ways that you can celebrate as well. For those of you who have had your Advent wreath in the middle, there's generally that white candle, which is the Christmas candle. So that's something that you can continue to light throughout the 12 days of Christmas. You know, we love to have Christmas parties and normally it happens before Christmas, but what about doing it afterwards?
Yes.
And if you have a family, you know, and you wanted to have an Epiphany party, you know, break out the Rosca de Reyes, the king's cake. You can even maybe have a visit from the three kings, get some of the people to dress up and bring gifts to the kids. That could be a part of the party.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be very, very fun. So at my last parish, we had a pastorella. So they would do the acting out of the kings visiting the magi, visiting Jesus, and the whole nativity scene and everything. And then the children would come up to the magi and receive gifts. It was really neat. It was, and they were all dressed up and they had all that. So that's a great idea. And you know, the Christmas parties during the season of Christmas, that's a great way to get rid of the fruitcakes you got.
There you go. And all that candy and all the sweets that you want to get rid of before your New Year's resolution.
Exactly.
I know many of our families are very devout and they have devotions, you know, praying the rosary together. I think we alluded to also some of the cultures that, you know, have the manger scene being a really big part of their Christmas preparation with the manger and nativity under the Christmas tree. So continue that during the 12 days of Christmas to pray the rosary or pray before the nativity scene, just remembering, you know, what the season is all about.
I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, I've done the videos on the Jesse tree as a kind of a scriptural way to be able to get prepare ourselves for Christmas itself. But to have that time before the manger scene, one of my favorite things to do each day during the Christmas season is to go before the manger scenes and try to just be in awe, try to imagine. And if we can help our family members, whether they're young or older, to reculcate that awe within them of Jesus becoming a man, becoming flesh, being born of the Virgin, then I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be great for personal meditation, you know, and reading of the scripture and reflecting on that. And then some other things that we can do, you know, we mentioned reading Christmas stories at the beginning, that tradition that we had in our own family, but maybe, you know, continuing that throughout the days of Christmas. And then I think last is just inviting Christ into our home. You know, he is our guest. Not only are we celebrating his birth, but his incarnation into the world, and just to keep that central to who we are and what that time is all about.
Awesome. I love those ideas, and I think we can't incorporate them all, but these are great ideas of how we can do some of these things to be able to continue Christmas beyond the 25th into the rest of the Christmas season. I want to go over a couple of special traditions and devotions that we have, Emily. You know, in preparation for this, I ran across a story about the poinsettia. And for me, the poinsettia has just been part of Christmas, just like the lily is part of Easter, right? Mm-hmm. And I never really thought about, well, why the poinsettia? You know, most of the time it's red and green. So I thought, well, okay, it's, you know, it's the Christmas colors, red and green. But why the poinsettia as the Christmas flower? I just kind of accepted it, you know? So I learned early on when I was a kid that poinsettias are poisonous to rabbits. So you don't want your rabbit to eat poinsettias. You know, my poor little Bonicula didn't last very long. So this is a great little story. I just want to share with you that about the poinsettia. It's also known as the Flor de la Nochebuena, so the flower of the Holy Night. So in the New World, a flower from Central America became a Christmas decoration, and there's a great legend that goes with it. The story tells of two poor Mexican children who had nothing to offer the Christ child on Christmas, and so on their way to church, they picked up some weeds from the side of the road. Although the other children made fun of them, they placed the weeds before the crash. And immediately those weeds blossomed into flowers we now call poinsettias, which we also call the Flor de la Nochebuena, or the Flower of the Holy Night. And so to me, I think that's just another beautiful way. It's a legend that talks about the poinsettia, but it shows forth that someone's small gift to Jesus, that innocent childlike gift, is something that can become something so beautiful. You know, we have that crazy song, The Drummer Boy, that talks about that too, mm-hmm. right? And this, I don't have any other gifts, but I can play the drums for you, Lord.
Yeah, I can give you myself. So yeah, that's beautiful. You know, it is interesting, as you say, there are a lot of different devotions around this time of year and looking in the liturgical calendar. And another one that is not really, I don't think it's lived out here so much in our own parish, but it's the Santo Niño de Atocha. Now, there are a lot of different cultures that have the Santo Niño or the Christ child image of, you know, Jesus as a child, normally with his mother Mary. But this one in particular comes from Spain. And this is pretty interesting. You know, as with many of these stories, this was a time when Spain was ruled by the Moors, and the Christians were being persecuted, and they were actually imprisoning the men in particular in this town of Atocha, which is basically a suburb of Madrid, just to kind of give you an idea of where that's located. Now, initially, the wives were able to bring food to the prisoners, but eventually the caliph decreed that only children under the age of 12 were permitted to visit the prisoners and bring them food and water. So for many men, if you didn't have a child under the age of 12, you were not allowed anything. I mean, they were dying. Mm. And so their wives, you know, were kind of banded together, and they prayed to Our Lady, and they were asking her for her intercession to provide for them and provide for their husbands so that they wouldn't die. And then it said that shortly thereafter, some of the children kind of commented that they saw an unknown child. So this is a small town. Everybody knows everyone. But they noticed a young boy who had a gourd, which is what, you know, he kept the water in, and a basket of food, which seemed to be plentiful, going and visiting the prisoners and giving them food and giving them water. And so that kind of, these rumors started. And then, you know, the women started to notice that the statue that they had of Our Lady of Atocha, which had the child, that the shoes on the child of the image were actually very worn and dirty. And to understand this a little bit, you know, this isn't just a statue, you know, made of cement. This actually, the child is one that was removable. So actually families at times could even take it into their home and kind of pass it around as a devotion to pray for him, especially when a lady was pregnant. And they would dress him. So I know many people who have like the child Jesus, you know, they'll create their own clothes for him. Yes. But they started to notice that the shoes are actually worn. And so they were replacing them. And again, they became very worn and torn. And then even people were saying that there's some nights where they would go to the image and the child wasn't there. And so immediately with their faith, they just knew that the Christ child image was providing for their husbands and bringing them the food and the water when no one else could.
You know, I think the creators of Toy Story has a new movie out, right? Toy Story 4, the Santo Niño de Atocha. No.
But the reason I bring this one
it's
up
beautiful,
in particular,
though. That's fantastic.
You know, is this is the Christ child. So this is the one and the same, you know, baby Jesus, that his birthday is Christmas Day. And so even though the people experienced him in a different way, you know, they celebrate his birth on Christmas Day for the blessings that he had. And of course, there are many more miracles associated with him. But, you know, there, across the globe, you'll see all these different devotions that kind of shed a different light and a different perspective on our God and how he reaches out to us and helps us in our need.
Well, I think this is fantastic. And you know, Emily, I actually, as priest, I oftentimes will, after Christmas, I'll bless statues of Santo Niño de Atocha. And I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. I didn't know why people were bringing a statue of the baby Jesus. But it was a real big part of the Mexican tradition is this devotion to Santo Niño de Atocha. And so it's a story of provision, right?
Right. You know, and I guess you said in Mexico in particular, there is an apparition of him in Zacatecas in Fresnillo, I believe, where there were some miners that were trapped. And again, they prayed for his protection and similar happenings. The image kind of disappeared and would reappear with clothes that were torn and dirty. And the miners later talked about how a young child came to them and provided for them while they were trapped. And then they also go on to say the fact that, you know, baby Jesus, he didn't get to stay in the manger. You know, they immediately got up and traveled and they fled to Egypt. And so even for those who are traveling, it's a really good saint to pray to and ask for intercession for safety.
Oh, that's absolutely, that would be great. And we're all traveling in some way, but especially if you're moving from one place to another, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So yeah, Santo Niño de Atocha, we give our lives to you. We ask your help and your aid. We do have some special feast days, Emily, during these 12 days. And so I just want to talk about some of these special feast days that we have, because I think sometimes we don't realize that in the church calendar and in the universal church that some of these days are really important. So of course we have Christmas on the 25th of December, 9 months after the celebration of the Annunciation. Why is that? Why is it 9 months after the celebration of the Annunciation? Well, the Annunciation was when Mary conceived, right? So 9 months later, we have the birth of Jesus. St. Stephen's Day is the following day, on the 26th. And St. Stephen was this great saint, a follower of Christ. He walked with Christ in his earthly ministry, was there with the other apostles and disciples. He was elected to be one of the first deacons. Early on in the book of Acts, we hear the apostles say, "We're just exhausted, we're tired, we can't keep up serving all the people," and then also preaching and understanding the readings and the scriptures. And so the Lord led them to elect seven men who had been with them the whole time to act as deacons. And this is where we have our ministry of the diaconate currently. And so St. Stephen was one of those that was elected. And he ended up being the first Christian to die for the faith. And wow. So St. Stephen was stoned to death. And who was right next to St. Stephen when he was being stoned? It was Saul from Tarsus. Saul from Tarsus was the one that was advocate his stoning. Of course, we know Saul of Tarsus became the great St. Paul with his conversion. St. Stephen's Day actually is really, really big in parts of Europe. It's also known as Boxing Day, as a day where people will give food to others, you know, people in need. So after feasting on Christmas, then there would be, okay, let's give the food to those who are without. So I think that's a beautiful way of celebrating St. Stephen Day. I know in Italy, it's considered as big of a day as Christmas. So it's a huge day. And then for St. Stephen Day, a practice could be caring for those who are in need, right? St. John is on the 27th. And of course, St. John laid his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. St. John wrote the Gospel of John. And His gospel is considered kind of lofty in theology, but also very Eucharistic. And so there's a tradition to bless wine on the feast of St. John, which is on the 27th. So that's a great way to kind of, you know, celebrate, is to pull out your nice bottle of wine and pray a blessing on that bottle of wine.
And then drink it, right?
If it's a good bottle, it's meant to be drunk. And then the 28th is the Holy Innocents. And the Holy Innocents is the children that died when Herod was going after Jesus, when Jesus was born, and Herod didn't want any competition to his throne and had heard that this king was born in Bethlehem. And so he went after and massacred all these children under the age of two. And we can just imagine like the pain of the families where they saw their children being killed and how that they carried that with them. And so on the Holy Innocents, it's a time, I think, where we can really pray for babies who, you know, were killed in the womb, you know, the whole abortion thing. And we work on that. But there's also another tradition that's part of it. And I think, Emily, your kids would love this.
Yes.
Have you heard of this tradition?
Yes, I have heard of this tradition. So, you know, in addition to, as we said, memorializing and praying for those babies who have passed on, is actually with the children that you have, is offering them a place of prominence in the family on that day. Similar to, you know, having being a principal for the day or something else. So allowing the children to make decisions. They were saying maybe make, you know, let the littlest child choose what they want for dessert that night. And you would do it, or choose what you want for dinner if you're going to go out. Maybe if you still have your Christmas lights on, you know, let them turn on the Christmas lights. So just allowing little things where they can kind of have that dignity and that excitement of that childlike innocence that they have.
Allow them to drive the car.
Oh, no. And no Christmas tree surfing either.
No Christmas tree surfing. And then we have on the 29th, we have the memorial of St. Thomas Becket. And this memorial, I think, is a really cool thing. You know, Thomas Becket was a saint in England, and he ended up dying for the faith just a couple days after Christmas. And so, you know, the 29th, I think, is the day that he was martyred. And so, you know, he gave a great Christmas homily. And so you can read kind of his homily on that Christmas day, that as a way of kind of celebrating, okay, yeah, you know, Jesus's birth, it's about a different way of life. And sometimes that means we have to stand up to what is true and good, and maybe we have to accept the consequences of that standing up for being good and true. But I think it's a neat way to kind of remember, just read that famous Christmas homily and reflect on Thomas Becket. And then we get to January 1st. And so we have several different things on January 1st, Emily. So one of the things that we have is, it's the new year.
Yes.
Yeehaw. We bring in the new year, the big apple comes down or whatever. You know, there's the countdown. We sing songs and we make resolutions, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our secular culture with regards to the new year. In the church tradition, we have three main aspects. It's the eighth day of Christmas, and all the great feast days, whether it's Christmas or Easter, we celebrate in great strength for eight straight days. Eighth day basically is the kind of the day of renewal, or so it's a way of completing, a day of completion. But the feast or the solemnity of on January 1st, we also can look at, as we know it, as Mary, Mother of God. But when within the Christmas season, we also see it as the naming of Jesus and the circumcision of Jesus. And I think that, you know, I can't really think of any devotions around the circumcision of Jesus. That would be kind of awkward and weird. But certainly on the naming of Jesus, we can look at that. And on the 1st of January, think, okay, how can I use the name of Jesus in a holy way? How can I? There used to be a cynical or a solidarity that was the holy name of Jesus. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's a kind of something that was created to create more reverence to the name of Jesus. So all the blasphemy and all the words where people use the Lord's name in vain, this is an attempt to try to use his name in a proper way. So, you know, I think of the scripture verse, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So maybe like really making an effort whenever you pray to and you use the name of Jesus in that prayer to just slightly bow your head, right? Mm-hmm. As a way of reverencing the holy name of Jesus.
I like that. You know, one of the things that I tend to do for the January 1st New Year's resolutions is always make my spiritual resolutions. So, you know, that happens, I guess, a couple times. You know, you do it in Lent, but this is what I like to do kind of New Year starting fresh is like, how do I want my spiritual life to look like this coming year? You know, how do I want to grow closer in the Lord? And so that's something I intentionally work on as well to the new year. So I may add that to the list.
You know, it's a great time to reflect on where we've been and how we've lived our life and then think about, yeah, exactly, our resolutions and say, okay, how can I live closer to God and how can I choose him more, right? You know, we're all called to be saints and we're all called to be with Jesus in heaven. And, you know, I think New Year's is a time for us to reflect again and say, how can I be saintly?
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, as we walk through the liturgical calendar, you know, we're trying to just show that even that's a way that you can celebrate the days of Christmas is by studying and learning about the different holy days and feast days. And I'm recognizing that we forgot the Feast of the Holy Family, which here at St. Joseph's Workshop, you know, we want to uplift the domestic church. So that's one that's really important. And you know, it happens so quickly after Christmas this year. It's like December 26th.
Talk about a bunch of masses, you know, all the Christmas masses and then go right into the 26th.
Yeah, but I think that's one that, you know, that is a time when we're lifting up the Holy Family. And for all of us, you know, that is an example for us and how to live out our own role as mother and father and parent and child. So I think it's a great time to reflect on that. And then also just if you're not already doing it with all of the holiday celebrations, reach out to your family members, extended family, you know, and just let them know that you're thinking of them, that you're praying for them, and that you miss them. It's a good time to be drawn together.
Yes, I think, you know, most of the time we do meet together as family. You know, I think that happens in my family, and I'm sure it happens with your family too. But I think every family is a little bit different, and sometimes families grow apart a little bit. And, you know, maybe this can be the Holy Family is a time where you do that extra special thing to reach out to that one family member that's kind of farther away. And so then we have Epiphany. And Epiphany, we talked about a little bit. You were talking about the king's cake and all that. Can you describe the king's cake a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, I grew up with more of the Creole tradition of having the king's cake during Mardi Gras. But through my husband, I realized, especially in the Hispanic or the Mexican culture, that they really celebrate Epiphany with the king's cake or the Rosca de Reyes. Now it looks different. It's circular. It has the same meaning, but rather than all the sugar and the and the colors, it's more simple. It has dried fruits on top of it, but they place within it as well the little babies. And so for those of you who are not aware, you know, they talk about the circle of the cake is a symbol for the journey that the Magi took, kind of trying to get Herod, you know, confused so they wouldn't be able to follow him. And then the baby Jesus is inside. So, you know, there's some cultural significance that they put on it too. Whoever gets the baby is responsible for making the tamales for the next year's celebration.
Congratulations. Yeah. You get to make the tamales.
You won. And they take
How
it
did
pretty
that
seriously.
Work? Yeah. I will make my tamales extra spicy. Yeah. And then they'll be like, your cake will never have the king's the baby in it. That is very cool. That's always exciting. I think when I've been apart, when people, I got the baby. So, also, you know, Emily, do you guys in the Lugo household, do you guys do the traveling Magi? You know, Epiphany is the day that, as we've said, is one of the ways that we celebrate the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, is God, is that the Magi come and give him homage. And so, you know, I know some places they travel the wise men from across the room into the manger scene.
Yeah. So we haven't done it yet, but it is one that, you know, through our discussions over the last couple of weeks, it's something that, I would like to begin within my family. You know, we don't do the Elf on the Shelf. I think this would be a great alternative to do from our Christian perspective. And so this is a great point that they don't necessarily arrive on Christmas Day, but they get there on Epiphany. So that would be a great opportunity for families who want to try something different to do.
Would the Magi like show up in different children's rooms, like, oh, wow, the Magi is now in my room.
I think it would get lost in my house with all the mess.
Most of the time, it's just a short travel. They don't have to do a marathon or anything. So, you know, the other aspects of Epiphany, as I mentioned, it's about the revelation of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. And so there's other points. Oftentimes we don't realize this, but the baptism of the Lord is part of, you know, it's celebrated generally within the octave of Epiphany. If it was its own season, it would be within the octave. And so the baptism of the Lord, what happened at baptism of Jesus? Well, he didn't need to be baptized, but he was baptized to be in solidarity with us. John the Baptist poured water over him, and the heavens opened up. Something like the Holy Spirit came and looked like something like a dove or something. That's where we get that image of the dove. And we heard a booming voice that said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Well, this is a clear revelation. Ooh, Jesus is not a human person. He's a divine person. Or the wedding at Cana, Jesus's first miracle, is another consideration of kind of this outward manifestation of who Jesus is when he does that first miracle. Transfiguration on the mountain was where, you know, before with James and John, Jesus is transfigured into his glory and revealed clearly with Peter, James, and John that he is God. And so these are all moments that we see in the Feast of the Epiphany. The tradition has that you actually fill your sanctuary up with candles and light. So it's kind of the Feast of the Light, right? Because the people who were in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus is the light. He reveals himself as God himself. So, you know, here at St. Joseph, we have a number of candles in our sanctuary that will more than normal that we'll have there. And that's a way of kind of highlighting the Epiphany as a great feast day. In your own family, so you could probably light a bunch of candles, right? Mm-hmm. So just have a few more, maybe a few more candles than normal around your house. Just be safe about it, you know, so, or around the dinner table or something like that. And I remember Emily in Corsicana, I decided to bring out all these candles, and we didn't have enough followers. So we had all these candelabras, but we don't have enough followers for the candles.
To hold the wax.
To hold the wax, you know. So the follower is the little cap that goes on the top of the candle so that it, when the candle melts, it evenly distributes and it doesn't run off. So I was like, oh, that's no big deal. And so we had like, I don't know, we probably had 100 different candles, right? 150 candles. They're all the skinny candles. No, only a handful of followers. Well, by the end of like that mass, there was wax everywhere. It was on the floor. I had to spend the whole night like just scraping off that wax. So there's a reason why we have followers on candles. So just be forewarned if you decide to go that route.
You know, Father Jason, another thing about Epiphany that I think is a really great way that families can celebrate is by doing a home blessing. And this is something I'm pretty sure we put it on our social media. I know we did it during the middle of the pandemic, and probably we're going to post it again this year. But this is a time, you know, as we talk about families, as we're renewing our commitment to the Lord, you know, and even our heart's desire to follow him, we can do this blessing on our home. And the formula that you do is you start by putting, you know, like we're going to be coming into the year 2022. So you'll start by doing 20, you know, 20, and then plus, and then you create the initials of the three kings. So that's Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. So it's C plus M plus B, and then at the very end, plus 22, for it's the year 22. So this is something that you would repeat every year. But basically, as you're doing this, you know, there is a prayer that goes with it, that you're blessing your home. But it's also, you know, showing your family that just as the three wise men pursued Jesus and sought him out, like you're kind of recommitting your family, like we too are going to do that in this new year. We're going to seek him with all of our heart. So I think that's a really beautiful experience that families can do. And I really encourage you, you know, you, if you have some chalk and you think about it, maybe you can even bring it to Mass before and get the priest to bless it for you.
Exactly. You know, I think we might be able to have some blessed chalk as well. I'm going to look into that as well to make sure that we can do that for our families. And I think that'd be really cool as a little going away present from Epiphany so that you can go and have the chalk to be able to bless your homes with. I really think that's a great thing, Emily, like, and especially the leaders of the family, whether it's a father, if they're, you have both parents or, if, you know, it's just a mom, that's fine. But to have that leader of the family to call the blessing of God upon the home, and then you know, using your your baptismal priesthood and the sacramental grace that comes from baptism, and your connection as a son or daughter of the Father, and saying, "Father, come into this home," I think is great. So we have just talked about all sorts of different things. We've talked about music and decorations and devotions and activities and prayer. And we even talked about food, you know, everything from fruitcakes to tamales to king's cake to pierogies. I guess we didn't talk about pierogies, but that's a Christmas food too. But we've talked about all this. And of course, there's some drinks too, some good wine to wassail, et cetera. So that's why we love this season, you know, gathering of families. It can be so rich if we continue to celebrate, you know. So that's my challenge for our listeners, Emily, is that we, and my challenge for myself is to celebrate for the season of Christmas and not let our celebration end on the 25th.
I agree. Whatever age and stage we're at, there's always something that we can do to celebrate, or we can learn about our faith during this time. So we encourage all of you to take note of some of the things that we did and try something new this year. You know, we thank all of you so much for listening to this episode of St. Joseph's Workshop. We are all a work in progress, so be sure to tune in next time to gain new tools to help you build the church at home.
And I pray God's blessing to be upon you during this Christmas season, that you may know the joy of the Christ child in your life. And may mighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.